This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Chuang and Shazana. It is Monday, the 28th of February, and we are taking a look at the Johor State elections, which look set to be intense, with 239 candidates contesting, paving the way for multi-corner contests in all 56 seats. So nomination day was on Saturday, and according to the nomination list, both the Tiram and Kempas state seats are the most highly contested, involving a seven-corner fight with five independents in it. However, it seems like four-cornered fights will dominate the field with 35 seats in these polls.
EC Chairman Dr. Abdul Ghani Saleh said a total of 223 candidates from 10 parties and 16 independent candidates will contest the election on March 12th. Some interesting facts. The oldest candidate is a 71-year-old contesting in Bukit Permai. The youngest candidates are 26, which means there's more than one. And breaking it out by gender, there will be a total of 202 males and 37 female candidates, so outnumbering by some quantum.
Absolutely. Female candidates only 15%. That is an increase from the previous elections, though. So what does this election landscape tell us, and how do the parties stack up? For more on this, we have with us Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Research Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research. Good morning, Dr. Azmi. Always good to have you. Now, the EC has confirmed that a total of 239 candidates are contesting for 56 seats. It's a crowded field. There's a total of 10 political parties in this election. Who do you think is worth watching? Will it be the new parties contesting that that will garner most of the attention?
Yeah, Shazana. When you mentioned only 50% of the candidates are from women, but you have to be aware that this is the highest women candidate compared to GE14. So this is something very interesting, Shazana. Compared that, on your question whether who should we watch, I guess, well, I think the smaller parties, Warisan, PBM, and also Muda, they are there as an opposition. So I would say that some say that it will split the votes. If there are split votes, I think it will affect, I would say, more towards Pakatan Harapan and also the opposition. Mm. And I say one particular, these smaller parties, the crowded field, I think it is interesting to see how Muda, they'll be contesting seven seats, how they will perform, because it will reflect their adventure in GE15, Shazana.
Yeah, Doc, all the seats are multi-cornered fights with four-corner fights dominating the field. First of all, who does this benefit? And secondly, I think maybe even more importantly I'm interested, why is it so popular? Why are so many candidates crowding the field trying to get a spot in the electorate?
Yeah, one thing for sure, that most probably because of our political situation last 3 years, I think the people are fed up. So these newer parties are trying to test the waters, how acceptable, receptive is the people towards the new party. And we have to remember that GE15 most probably will be after PRN Johor. That's in my opinion. So I think Warisan, for example, Pejuang too, I think, would like to test their popularity in Johor. That will reflect the national level of popularity. So I think that's the reason why it is so crowded. On your question whether who will benefit from this crowded field, I would say that Barisan Nasional would benefit, because as I said before, the parties that join this particular election, the smaller parties, they regarded them as the opposition. So I would say that the opposition parties will be the negative effect, because there will be some split votes on their supporters.
Let's zoom into some of the major parties, starting with UMNO. So what do you make of UMNO's candidate list? They're running in some 37 seats. And what do you make of the fact that Datuk Seri Najib Razak also appears to be rather prominent in the campaigning in Johor? What does this tell us about the dynamics within the party?
Yes, I think not only in Melaka, we have seen in Melaka how popular is Datuk Seri Najib. And in Johor too, I think not only in Malay-dominated constituencies, but also in Chinese-dominated constituencies, especially yesterday what happened in Perling. I think it really shows that Datuk Seri Najib is a strong pull factor. People are very interested to see what he's going to say, or well, he cannot campaign, but whatever it is campaigning. Some says that Datuk Seri Najib is the main player, the key player that are making decision in UMNO. But as I see it, Datuk Najib don't have any position. I think MKT, the Majlis Kerja Tertinggi, is still making decision. But the perception is that Datuk Seri Najib is still very popular on the ground.
So do you think, Doc, that BN will be able to replicate its Melaka victory?
Chuang, to say that replicate, yes, I would say it will replicate in terms of Barisan Nasional can form the state government. But to replicate the more than two-thirds strong majority is going to be very difficult. But I'm quite confident that not because of Barisan Nasional is so dominant and so strong in Johor, but because of the opposition are so disfranchised. They just cannot talk with each other and they're going with each other. So I think, yes, Barisan Nasional can be replicate Melaka result, but with a caveat that it will not be an easy two-third majority win.
Can we take a look at Bersatu, which is as part of the Perikatan National Coalition? What are their chances of winning the seats that they're running for, especially since the head, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who's a Johor native, he's sitting these elections out?
Yeah, when Syed Saddiq sitting out of this particular election, people won't understand because he's not the incumbent. But Tan Sri Muhyiddin is the incumbent in Gambir. So to say that in an early stage that Tan Sri Muhyiddin won't be defending his seats, I think is a demoralized to his supporters. So in that particular view, I would say that Bersatu, I think, will be similar. The result will be similar to Melaka. They will win seats, but seats that there are not enough to form a government and not enough to correlate with each other parties to form a government. So I think it will be devastated for Bersatu if they cannot form the government in Johor, Shazana.
And Doc, for the opposition, right, there appear to be divisions between PH and Muda and Perjuang and Barisan over seat allocations. What is your sense of their strength or lack thereof? And also, do you think that they need a new leadership?
The current opposition leadership is Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim. And to answer your last question, whether they need a new leadership, yes, I think so. Because Perjuang Mukris said yesterday that Perjuang just cannot work with Pakatan Harapan, especially PKR, because there was a prerequisite that they accept Datuk Seri Anwar as the leader, as the opposition leader. But Perjuang just cannot accept that. And I think Datuk Seri Anwar made a few blunders along the way up until Johor election. I think it's a clear sign of signal or tale that not only Pakatan Harapan, but I think opposition as a whole, as we've seen in Johor, how disfranchised they are, they need a new leader, which I cannot see beside Datuk Seri Anwar, who can replace Datuk Seri Anwar. I think that's the basic predicament of the opposition right now, Chuang.
Dr. Azmi, can I zoom in onto a particular seat, Larkin, which sees both PKR and Muda contesting that seat? What do you think went into the discussions on this? Why have how might this impact how they work together moving forward?
Shazana, even though PKR say they won't retaliate, but I think their supporters will retaliate. And on Muda's part, Shazana, I think they should not have contested in Larkin. They should have feel satisfied with the six seats offered by Amanah and DAP. Yes, Larkin will be the highlight. Everybody will be watching Larkin. But for my kid, Shazana, I'll be watching Dun Perling because DAP, I would say leader, Lee Chin Tong, our former deputy minister, will be the DAP candidate. So it will be very interesting. It's a three-corner fight between Barisan, Perikatan and Pakatan Harapan. And MCA is putting their candidate. And the more important thing is, I'll be voting there, Shazana.
Okay. All right. We're going to be catching up with you, Dr. Azmi, on how that goes then.
Okay. And of course, Doc, maybe lastly, right, Dr. Azmi, what are the main campaign issues you see in these Johor State elections?
I would say which party can form a stable government. And we have seen that, especially Barisan Nasional and Perikatan Nasional too, also they have trying to portray that they are the entity that can form a strong state government. And I said this quite some time also, Bangsa Johor voters, they are very different kind of voters if you want to compare to Melaka voters. So a strong Menteri Besar, that's very important, and a strong state government, I think, will be the issue that will balance the choice between these parties, whether it is Perikatan, Barisan, or Pakatan Harapan, and also Pejuang, that have a chance to form a state government, Chuang.
Dr. Azmi, thanks very much for speaking to us today. And we'll definitely catch up with you in the run-up to the elections and after to see how the vote pans out. That was Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Research Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research, giving us the key highlights of Nomination Day and who he'll be watching out for during the Johor State elections. He named Berling as where he's voting. I'll be watching Larkin, of course, to see how PKR and Muda fight this one out. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.